Good evening and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. This is going to be a spooky show, Possum, so stay tuned. Tonight's guest is Amy Williamson. Amy has been interested in the paranormal and began investigating from an early age, sweet 16. In 2005, she formed a paranormal investigation group, Haunted Hillsdale. At the same time, she began filming a documentary in which she profiles the group investigating haunted locations in Hillsdale, Michigan. In 2007, she co-founded the League of Extraordinary Paranormal Women. In addition to filming her documentary, Amy is an avid movie scriptwriter in the genre of horror and offbeat comedy, dabbles in local community theater, and has maintained a career working with women in the social services field for over 13 years. Let's welcome this extraordinary woman to the show. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Great, Lance. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm always a little spooky before the show, but once I connect with the guests, everything seems to go in however it goes.
Okay. Well,
I was looking at your website just before we came on air, and it is really interesting. I am fascinated by the paranormal, and you started before you were 16. You were a child when you were interested in it, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I remember when I was little, I loved everything magical. Like, I liked reading books about witches, and I liked reading, you know, those kind of things. Like, Harry Potter would have been a dream for me.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so when I was 16, for my birthday, I asked for a psychic development class to be paid for and astrology. So I had that done, and then I started taking meditation classes, and, you know, I just loved reading ghost stories and anything, you know, that had to do with the paranormal. I just ate it up.
Interesting. Now, did you see any spirits when you were a little kid? I know when I was a kid, I talked to my invisible friends. I never saw them, but I knew they were there. Was there any experience that you had before 16, or did that happen later?
Well, the first time that I ever saw a spirit, it was actually a spirit dog.
Oh.
We had a dog that... when I was born, they got it as a puppy, so I grew up with the dog, and the dog's name was Deju. And we had to put her to sleep when I think I was like 11 or 12, and I was devastated, you know, and I cried. And I remember we had to put her to sleep, and then we stopped at the grocery store, and I was just crying, and the lady at the grocery store said, "Can she have a sucker?" and it was just heartbreaking. And it was a little poodle, and we had hardwood floors.
Uh-huh.
And one night I heard her little nails clippity-clappeting down the hallway. She jumped up onto my bed, and I saw a dark shadow on my bed.
Wow.
That was the first time I ever saw a spirit.
Oh, my gosh. My first dog was also a poodle, and I just loved her. And the second dog was a poodle mix, and they're really angels with paws, don't you think?
Yeah, my mom says that she likes them because, the poodle family dogs, like the Bichon dogs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
She likes them because they have human hair. They don't shed like regular animals, dogs.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. You're right.
Yeah.
I have a Jack Russell Terrier now, and she's got white hair, and it's everywhere on the floor.
Hey, you know what? That's what I have now, a Jack Russell Terrier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And her name is Lavender, and she's named after a famous ghost.
Oh, why don't you tell me a little bit about Lavender, either the dog or the ghost?
Well, we call her Spooky Butt, the dog. Something crawled up her, and she really stinks.
Oh, God.
No, but the ghost was on Halloween, I think we got her 3 years ago. I was listening to ghost stories on the radio.
Ooh.
And there's this famous, I don't know which highway it is. It's one of those highways where people see the hitchhikers, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's a hitchhiker where it's a girl and she's wearing a white dress, like it's a prom dress. And, you know, people pick her up and she, you know, gets driven to her house and let out and she disappeared. And so one guy said he went up to the house and he was like, you know, I drove your daughter home because she was crying, and, you know, and she's like, my daughter's been dead for, you know, a long time. Her name's Lavender, and she died on prom or something like that. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's interesting. I just saw a movie like that about a girl that was picked up, and it didn't have such a happy ending.
Which movie?
Yeah. Tell us about some of the haunted houses in Hillsdale.
Well, we just actually had an investigation last weekend. A woman contacted me, and she moved into our house, and her daughters have been seeing these ghosts, and she has been begging to see the ghost, because this is a different little investigation where she's just excited to have them. She's like, please, this punch to have ghosts.
Oh, yeah,
in your house.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
me too.
Like, yeah, she's, oh, you too?
Well, I don't have them, but I would be.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want you to get rid of them. You're not going to get rid of them. And I'm like, no,
I
love
it.
Do that.
I love it.
Yeah, so there's a woman in a blue dress, she says that she has a renter, and the woman in the blue dress doesn't really like the renter, but he was moving out, and he worked second shift.
Uh-huh.
Second shift is when you get home at about 11, right? Yeah. And so one night he came home, and he was moving in, and he walked into his kitchen, and he had some bags on the floor, and there was a woman in a blue dress going through his bags.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I interviewed him. I'm like, well, how long did you actually see this happen? And he was like, about 30 seconds, and when she saw that he was there, she disappeared.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's
so
fascinating.
When we investigated, I'm still going through the footage, but right off the bat, we went into her room, because she said the night before she had finally seen the ghost, because she was asking them, please, please, please let me see you.
Mm.
So she said that they formed as a white mist above her bed. So I said to her, I said, show me where they formed in a white mist above your bed. So I, you know, and it's a bit, hold on, I need to turn on my camera. So I turned on my camera, and she walks over there, and I'm like, okay, go ahead. And her face started, like, distorting on my camera, just her face.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. I said, your face is really starting to, like, morph and distort. I said, come here, you guys, the rest of my team. And they started walking over, and just as they got over my shoulder, it cleared up. Yeah.
Wow. Did it translate onto the recording?
Yeah.
Or
did it?
It did?
It did, yeah. So I can't wait to put it up on
my
website.
Gosh. Wow. Do you ever encounter spirits that are not as friendly?
Yeah, we had one where the lady, she was, at first it was just like a normal, like, she's like, I think that I have something in my house. Could you listen to some EVPs that I got? So I met her at a coffee store, and I listened to the EVPs, and it sounded like she had something. But everything she told me sounded like, it was like a textbook case, you know. She's like, well, you know, I'm just going through a divorce. Well, that's a major cause of a haunting. And I have a 13-year-old son. Oh, a child going through entering puberty. And I'm renovating my house. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So we went out to that place. And, yeah, it wasn't such a nice ghost. And it wasn't so much that it touched you, but the EVPs that we got weren't so nice, and when she claims, you know, we never caught it on tape, but when we weren't there, it would breathe on her and really make her feel threatened.
Yeah, which I've read about a lot about those different stories, and some people, you know, claim that they're being held down in their beds at times by spirits.
Yeah.
That seems to be
This is my theory on it. If you weren't a good person in life, then when you cross over, you know, chances are you might not be a good person in death either. You know,
right.
Like, there might be something really wrong with your spirit. Like, not everybody has pure spirit. They're just not.
Do you think that these spirits that are staying behind, do you think if they're just in the next realm above us, and they maybe part of them hasn't completely detached from this world? Or what's your sense of it?
My sense is that it's unfinished business. Well, I feel it's one or two things. It's either unfinished business, they're worried about something in their life, or two, well, no, I think it's three things. Or two, they don't quite know what to do. They're confused. A lot of kids are, like, lost. They don't really know what's happened to them.
Oh, yeah.
Or three, they've been so bad in this life that they are afraid what's out there.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Wow. That makes a heck of a lot of sense. Huh, interesting. What do you think separates the worlds, and is the paranormal really close to our everyday lives and we just don't notice it?
I think so, because, you know, the more I investigate, the more abnormal things happen to me. So the more you're around it, the more you notice it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if people, like, stopped and paid attention, you would notice it a little bit more. But then there's some that it doesn't matter what you tell them. A ghost could walk into their house, you know, tip their hat at them and walk through the wall, and they would still deny it.
Yeah.
We would still find a way to rationalize it.
Exactly. Well, it's kind of like that with UFOs and, you know, beings from other worlds, you know, aliens, supposedly.
Oh, I have an alien story.
Oh, you do? Oh, why don't you go ahead and share it? I love those.
Okay. Well, we were doing an investigation up in, like, it was near the UP, which in Michigan, everyone from Michigan knows that's the Upper Peninsula,
okay.
But I forget. So it was up near the UP, and this guy, he was really weird. And he said, in addition to having ghosts, he thought he had UFO activity. And I was like, oh, well, you know, and really we walked away from that investigation thinking, really, the weirdest thing in that investigation was the guy. Well, a few weeks later, you know, I kept feeling a little uncomfortable in my bedroom. And I didn't know what it was. And, you know, there were other people on the team that they felt a little funny, like something was watching them, or they didn't quite know what it was. And one Friday night, or Saturday, I don't know, it was a Friday or a Saturday, I woke up, it was about midnight, and I looked by my closet door, and there was this, I swear to God, this, it was like a lizard-looking thing.
Huh.
Like a, but it wasn't on all fours, it was like a humanoid-looking lizard thing.
Uh-huh.
And I told my friend, Nick, who is, you know, he's like a UFO person. And he said to me, he goes, well, what did it look like? And I'm like, well, I can't really explain what it looked like. You know, the closest I could explain was like a chupacabra, which, you know, but I said, but much bigger, like maybe 6 feet tall. And he goes, was it reptilian? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, dear, those are the worst kind. I'm like, what? And he goes, was it by your closet? I was like, yes, why?
Wow.
He goes, they use those as portals. I was like,
no.
So anyway, I would have thought, you know, I would have chalked that up to mind matrix. Like, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night in the dark, your mind, your eyes have to make something out of, you know, like something in the dark.
Yeah.
So I rolled over to and turned on the radio, you know, because I was a little shaken by it. And this weird language was coming out of the radio, like nothing I'd ever heard before. It wasn't.
Whoa.
It was like, and it was repeating itself.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that would make sense about the closet because, so you know, that would say, you know, why so many scary stories and children and all that talk about things in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a heck of a lot of sense.
He told me to put some kind of big magnet in the closet because it messes up their portal.
But you didn't get, did you get any vibes from it? Like it might be, because you couldn't really tell if it was a good reptile or a bad one then, right?
But I got the sense that I surprised it. You know, like I woke up all of a sudden, you know, and I surprised it and it surprised me. You know, I don't know. That's what I got the sense.
Huh, interesting. Well, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, seeing what they call grays, those shorter, smaller ones with the big eyes.
Uh-huh.
And the reptilians for the most part, and then the light beings are another category that seem to be seen quite a bit too. So that's all very possible.
Well, I guess the UFO activity is picking up. And somebody pointed out that, I don't know if this is true, but somebody, you know, like when the X-Files was really popular.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
The UFO activity picked up, and now that, you know, all these paranormal shows are on, UFO activity picked up. So I don't know if people are imagining it or if, you know, there's something in the air where, you know, they know that we're exploring the paranormal or what, but the activity, I know that I've heard from a few ufologists that the UFO activity has picked up.
Huh. Well, I'm kind of look forward to it. I've never actually seen one that I could identify, but even when I was a kid, I remember my parents took us on a trip to the desert, and they were looking for UFOs, and I remember feeling spooky, but I didn't see anything.
Well, you know, I don't want to see a UFO.
You'd rather do the ghosts, right?
Yeah, you know, because they, you know, make you so you don't remember it, and they probe you, and they do weird stuff to you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, those probes sound pretty
heavy. I'm not down with that.
I don't care for that one. a lot of people are photographing orbs right now, and I did see some pictures of orbs on your website. Do you see those visually, or is it just on the camera, and what are they?
Orbs are like a matter of huge debate in the paranormal community. A lot of people say, oh, it's just dust, and so you have to really know what you're looking at when you look at an orb, and so we're very careful when we put orb photos up on our website. We usually put them when they're in movement, and I have seen an orb with my naked eye, and the funny thing about it is every time I've seen, I'm sorry, I have like a cough, I'm trying to suppress it. Every time I see an orb with a naked eye, it's like the size of a beach ball.
Huh. And yet on the camera it might photograph as smaller, but it might actually be quite large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Interesting. Do you get any feelings from them? Do you pick up any emotions or?
No, I've never. We were actually when I saw my first one, I saw it in a cemetery, and it was like up in the tree, and I'm like, "What is that?" I said, "Quick, take a picture of that." You know, because I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
You know, I just was like shocked by this big ball of light in the tree.
Huh. Maybe they're like, maybe they're from the angelic realm or something like that.
I don't know. I can't say. If I don't know for sure what it is, I don't really say. I know that a lot of people say that it's like energy before a spirit manifests. I don't know. For me, I don't know what an orb is. You know?
Well, I'm glad that you don't just make stuff up about it.
No,
That validates that you're not, you know, you're authentic.
Yeah, I can tell you what people say an orb is, but until I can, you know, get a feel of what I think it is, I'm not going to, you know, say it one way or another. But I know that they exist.
Yeah.
When people say that it's just dust, I will say no.
I have seen
an orb with my naked eye, and then when it takes, you know, when you take a picture, it translates much smaller into, like, what an orb is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe it's Glenda the Good Witch floating around.
You can hope.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
The other one died underneath the house, I think.
Yeah, with her ruby red slippers.
Yeah, that's funny. You also have pictures of vortexes on your site. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, vortexes are like portals to other realms.
Okay.
We had Marie Jones on our Para Woman Radio, and she wrote Science, but it was with a P, and it was with quantum physics. And, you know, she kind of explained, like, how vortexes is just like an opening from a portal from two worlds.
Uh-huh.
So that's what they use to cross into our world,
uh-huh,
back and forth.
I have read in some spiritual literature that everybody has a vortex around them somewhere nearby, which is their own personal vortex to travel. I don't know if that's true or not. I've read that.
That's really interesting. I wonder if like other like entities can tap into that vortex.
Well, see, that's what some people in the paranormal sites are talking about, that, you know, if we're not conscious of our own vortex, then we might leave it open accidentally, you know, because we don't know what we're doing. You know, I've never seen it myself, but, you know, if that would make sense, that if we're not aware of it, maybe others from other dimensions are, and they can just use those to travel.
Yeah, that could be how, you know, people become haunted, you know, their spiritual bodies. Yeah.
Do you ever have instances of ghosts in a new house, or I guess they're probably more...
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think that the ghost is attached to the building, but a lot of times, like, more than a lot of times, the ghost is attached to the land.
Uh-huh.
for example, we did, a lot of our investigations are ongoing open investigations, because you just don't walk into a house and go, yep, it's haunted, see ya, you know.
Right, right.
Our job is done here, you
right.
know. So there is Native American Indian land, burial land, where the Indians had an opportunity to buy back their sacred burial ground.
Oh.
And they contacted us, and they were going to do a ceremony. And this was this past fall. And they said, but we think, you know, there's some spirits on here that are really restless and unhappy because they're, like, stealing our keys. And people that were visiting, they were actually taking the key off the keychain, key ring, and throwing it down the road.
Wow.
And they thought that there was some unhappy spirits there, so they invited us. Yeah, they invited us out there, and we, you know, we did some, we took some film, and we, you know, did some EVP work, and we didn't really get anything, but we did get that, we used the dowsing rods, and we asked if, you know, there were unhappy spirits, and they, you know, the dowsing rods told us yes, and then we asked, you know, tried to get a gauge of how many, and then after the ceremony, we asked if there was any unhappy spirits, and they said no.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So you actually can perform a ceremony to either release them or somehow satisfy the need for them to move on?
Yeah, you can cleanse the area. A lot of people use sage. They burn it. It's like a cleansing. The smoke's supposed to purify. Or people use sea salt. That's another cleansing.
Uh-huh.
You can use holy water. Really, whatever you think will work, I
uh-huh.
think is the best thing to use. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know you say a prayer and you tell them that you know they can move on. But it's the ones I think that are afraid of what's out, you know, what's waiting for them, that don't want to move on, and those are the more troublesome to get to move on.
Oh, do you have any instances of that have happened with you?
No,
that's
I haven't. I haven't had any of that, but lately I have had a lot of negative contact me, and I've been working with them over the internet, kind of, you know, telling them how to cleanse, and I told them if they need more help, let me know, and we'll come out, and we'll see if we can help them. So, so far, they've been trying to do it on their own.
Well, I guess that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
I've had to cleanse a couple of places that I've lived in, and I haven't done it for a while, but, you know, I've used sage when I've done that, and
I think it's good to do every so often cleansing. Even at first, when I met my husband, you know, because you know sage smells a little like weed, marijuana, and like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's just sage,
right, exactly.
You know, and he's like, I'm cleansing it, you know, it gets rid of negative energies and stuff like that, and he's like, oh. And so now he'll even, like, after if there's been a time where there's been a lot of stress between us or, you know,
yeah.
things have been stressful, he's like, maybe you need to smudge the house.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
And then, you know, it's important to remember to smudge yourself and then, you know, run the sage between your legs, around your body, and just kind of, you know, visualize golden white light or whatever, you know, feels right, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we can be inhabited too, can't we?
Yes, we can. Definitely we can.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people think, like, when you get possessed, they think it's like, you know, you're, you know, spitting pea green soup and, you know, you're shouting, you know, like, you're trying
your
to break
spin around.
Yeah. But that's not really what they kind of, like, go for your emotions. They make you, you know, like,
depressed yeah.
or, you know, or something like that. They prey on your emotions.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you ever notice how bullies, that's what they do. They make you angry or depressed or, you know, they prey on your emotions. You're like, why do they treat me like that? Why, you know, why do they make me feel that way? And
yeah.
So they do the same thing in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, and really the bullies are the weak ones.
Well, and then after they create those emotions from you, they feed off of it, you know?
Yep.
They like your negative energy,
yep.
so it makes them stronger.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've read on the internet about, going back to the reptilians, I've read that they're in a slightly higher dimension than we are, and that they actually feed off of our negative emotions.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why things are so stirred up all the time, because it's like, you know, filet mignon when there's a war. You can imagine. And, you know, so the more chaos and disruption there is, that's kind of an energetic food that they use to live on.
Huh.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I can't possibly know that, but I have read that online.
Really?
Well, I wanted to ask you about one of the houses that you had on your website, Will Carlton's Poor House. That was a fascinating story.
Oh, yeah. You know, I love doing the historical ones.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just really dig those. This is one where a famous poem was written by it. Will Carlton had to walk by it every day to school, but this was welfare before welfare existed. Like, this is where people went when they had no money, like if their husband divorced them and they had nowhere to go, or if they were really old, or if they had a mental condition. You went there and they just basically worked all day and then slept in these really cramped quarters.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so the Hillsdale Historical Society got it, and, you know, they restored it back, and I asked if we could come out, and they let us. And really, I got the mist in that one room.
Yeah.
I touched the spinning wheel.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, I had a demonologist on my team, which really she was, you know, like, she was a sensitive, too. Like, she just didn't sense demons, you know. It was, she could help if there was something negative, but she's sensitive to Kentucky. But I touched the spinning wheel, and I got this, like, electric spark, and I said, ooh, I don't think I should have done that.
Uh-huh.
I got the mist. Like, it was somebody's spinning wheel that was not happy with me.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, I think anybody that has a little empathic ability, and I think we're all empathic because we all feel things, can sense some of this stuff. I've always picked up on things like that. In fact, you know, there are some people who can pick up an object. You know, they can go to an antique store or in your house and pick up an object and sense everybody that's ever touched it and all the energies with it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
I wish I was somewhat like that. I wish I was more psychic, but I'm not.
Yeah, I know, me too. Me too, but I guess we each come here with different skills and skill sets. Otherwise, we'd all be the same, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I know. I go through that myself. I always wish I was something I wasn't, you know, or had more abilities or whatever, because it seems so neat.
Yeah, it does seem neat.
It does. Now, I wanted to ask you about that you had an Area 51 site that hasn't been developed yet on your website?
No, we haven't really gotten too much in. Well, I shouldn't say that, because we did do something, not this past spring, but the spring before, and I just haven't gotten it up. And my web designer, who, she's been going through some stuff, and I try not to, like, put too much on her because she's going through some stuff. So I, but we did have this exciting thing where, I think it was in the 60s, these co-eds, because Hillsdale's a college town. These co-eds saw a UFO out their window. And, like, Time magazine had them in their magazine, and, you know, it was all reported on. And it was, like, the 40th anniversary, and we did, I brought in a UFOologist, and we went, you know, he did, a story on it, and he kind of talked about it, and then we went to where the site where it happened, and the newspaper covered it, and it was kind of exciting. But, you know, of course, they explained it away as swamp gas back then.
Yeah, of course.
It was nothing, you know. They poo-pooed it.
Yeah.
So that's the only UFO thing that we've done. We did talk about, like, going back out there, because the UFOologist has told us that we're on a fault line. You know how they run on fault lines?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess Hillsdale's on one of those fault lines. And I do get a lot of people saying that they see UFOs around here.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, it's funny, too, that it's been so long since that original moment when they, you know, when Area 51 became popular, you know, became known about. It's been 60 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Jeez.
And they've been doing a lot of press on it on TV lately.
Oh, that's good. You know, it would be nice if the truth would finally come out.
Yeah, I don't think it ever is going to, though.
Well, they seem to have a pretty tight lid clamped on it, that's for darn sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to make us think that it never happened.
Well, you know, I think it's
that
really...
That it was a weather balloon.
Well, that's ridiculous. I've done enough research on it to know that there's a lot more to it than that. And I think you have too, haven't you? I mean, you know that there's more to it than just, what they're telling us.
I know there's a lot more, and I think there's a lot more of all the investigations that they try to hide from us.
Yeah. I agree. Now, what happened at the Volume 1 bookstore?
The Volume 1 bookstore was the first investigation that we ever did. You're really making me go back.
Now, you don't have to talk about any of these things. You can say, oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Sorry.
That was like 3 years ago.
Oh, well, that's not that long. You should be able to remember that one.
Well, that was the first one that we ever had done.
Okay.
And the owners had told me that upstairs on the third floor, that one night they were outside and they heard, music coming from upstairs. And it was, 30s type of music. And so also the owner's friend lived in the loft above it next door, and he saw a handprint outside of the window. His cat was looking out the window, and there was a handprint from outside.
Mm-hmm.
So we had went in, and the only thing that really happened at that investigation was that we were up on the third floor, and we were talking about, can they disguise your voices and make themselves sound like other people?
Uh-huh.
And, Kat was like, yeah, they can do that. And then my husband goes, what, Amy? And I'm like, what? He goes, what'd you just say? I said, I didn't say anything. He goes, you just said something in my ear. I'm like, no, I didn't. So they were just showing that, they can do that.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Wow.
That was just a personal experience.
That's neat. What kind of equipment do you use now? I mean, you probably started out with a few things and have changed your techniques. What do you use now to check things out?
Well, I have two digital cameras that I use. I used to have, my first one that I ever got was a JVC, and it sucks. Don't ever buy a JVC. I told the JVC people I would always say that it sucks because, I tried to get them to fix it and they wouldn't do it. It blew so many megapixels that, and it was so expensive to fix. And we called it, was funny because when I first started out, it kept blowing megapixels and there would be like a blue dot in the middle of the film.
Wow.
So I said, we could call it a blue dot production.
Oh, geez.
So
That's not good.
It's no good. So I have a JVC. And then I just bought a new Sony with the night vision, and it rocks. It's Sony with that night vision is the best.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got a Sony too, and I like it a lot.
Love it. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it takes a great picture, and it's just really good. The night vision is patented. How do you say that?
Patented.
Yeah, patented.
Something. Another protected. You can't.
Yeah,
it's
protected.
They have the rights on that.
Yeah.
They're kind of the technological leader of, a lot of that equipment, and I've used night vision on mine too. It's fascinating to use.
Do you ghost hunt?
I never have.
Oh. Are you in California?
Yeah, I am. In fact, I should be doing some of this stuff myself because I live in gold country where the original miners came, off of California Highway 49.
Uh-huh.
That's where Suttersville is.
Wow.
And, I could easily go there with a camera, and I'm going to do that.
You should. And you know what else? Make sure you bring your digital recorder.
Yeah.
You can, EVPs are fun.
You had some real clear EVPs?
I'm sorry, what?
Have you had any clear EVPs where you could actually make... Oh, first of all, tell us what an EVP is. I know what they are.
It's electrical voice phenomenon. It's where you catch it on your voice recorder, a voice that you can't normally hear with the naked ear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a few up on my website, and I think we caught some more at this last investigation.
And your website, your website, just so everybody knows, we'll mention it again at the end of the show, but it's www.hauntedhillsdale.com, and that's spelled haunted, HauntedHillsdale.com. Ben, we'll mention that again at the end of the show so people can go, because it's a fascinating little site. You know, and you know, you've got pictures up there of the houses. I got, you know, I got goosebumps when I looked at the pictures.
Really?
Yes, and I do believe that a picture, and this includes on the internet or wherever it is, if you take a picture of a haunted site and there's something there, that a person who's empathic can pick that up through the picture.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that.
You know, have you ever looked at a picture of somebody online and you've gotten bad vibes or...
Oh, yeah.
I have, and it's turned out to be true. 99 times out of 100, you know...
Well, you know, yeah, going back to the alien thing, have you ever looked at somebody and thought they're not quite right?
Oh, absolutely.
They don't quite look human?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, almost as if they don't have a soul.
Yeah, like they're... Or they don't fit quite right in their skin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have had that feeling.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a guy named David Icke who talks about this quite a bit, and he claims, and he's quite, he lectures all over the world, and he claims that some of the that actually some people in high places are literally reptilians, that they've been breeded, their bloodlines have been breeded so that the reptilian can come in and you know, influence them, and of course acquire great wealth and power and so on and so forth.
When I was growing up, one morning I was listening to the radio while I was getting ready, and there was these guys, these that they said that John Tesh was an alien.
Oh.
It was, they were like so anti-John Tesh, and they were fighting him, and you know, they were going to destroy him because he was an alien here to take over our souls.
Oh my! Well, that's pretty funny. That is a good one. I kind of doubt that, but he seems like an okay guy. But
he's
you never know.
List.
You never
he's on
know.
That alien list you were talking about.
You know, and that's the thing. You can't judge a book by its cover because
yeah.
We don't really know. You know, I'm sure you've realized this in your investigations that we really don't, there's a lot that we don't understand that's not visible.
Do you think they know they're aliens?
I don't. I think some do, and I think most don't.
Yeah.
I think most don't realize that they're actually, you know, hooked up to some kind of an alien life form. And there's
yeah.
also the thing about implants,
uh-huh.
that some people have implants that are,
yeah.
you know, psychic implants. And so they can't be x-rayed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen to us along the
yeah,
way.
No, isn't it scary?
It is scary. It's
you, think about
you know, I had a psychic reading once, and I was told that I had this implant and that implant, and I thought,
oh.
my God, how did I get this far? You know, I thought I was a nice person, and they're saying, oh, yeah, you had a contract with this one and that one. And some of them looked like insects, you know.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, who knows?
Should I be talking to you?
Well, you
I
are now.
I don't have an alien coming out of my closet tonight.
Oh, no. I'm a good-hearted person, so I don't think you have to worry about that. Can't you tell over the telephone?
Yes.
And that's another thing, too. If a person has a sense of humor, they usually that indicates they're connected to their self. And I've noticed that people who are, you know, that I've had weird vibes about, there's no humor about them at all. There's
yeah.
nothing funny. It's like you just get this feeling that you want to get away. And I've even looked in somebody's eyes that were just black, and I felt like I was going down a black hole, and it was so frightening that I just got away from that person.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had something happen to me this week where I've been having these migraines, so they
uh-huh.
gave me this drug called Tokamax.
Huh, never heard of it.
Yeah, don't ever take it.
Okay,
it made me so disconnected from my body, my soul. I was like in this fog, and I was so confused, and I didn't know, you know, I couldn't think of words, and, you know, I couldn't put a complete sentence together.
Uh-huh.
My arms and my legs didn't feel connected. My head was like fuzzy, and...
Uh-huh.
It was like the weirdest thing that I've ever gone through, and I had no sense of humor during that time.
Yeah. You know, you make a really good point, because a lot of kids are given antidepressants and psychotic drugs and so on and so forth, and they're really maybe just, maybe there's a reason why they're different, and they
yeah.
get sedated on drugs and on certain antidepressants. your soul becomes accessible to outside forces.
Yeah, I could have totally, if I would have stayed on that, I could totally see how I could have lost myself.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
It
I mean,
scary.
You can become so detached from yourself that you're not in your body.
Uh-huh.
And when you're not grounded and you're not in your body, that's a time when spirits or entities or aliens, if you want to call it that,
mm-hmm.
can enter in and take over, and
they're
happy to do it.
Yeah, and I wasn't sleeping, so every part of me was ran down, and so
it
would have been real time.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people who do drugs think that, you know, well, I can drink and I can do drugs, I can handle it, but the truth of the matter is that you do open up, your aura gets weakened,
yes.
and you do become more susceptible to outside influences, and they do exist. If we think that we are a spirit, don't you think?
Yeah, oh, I agree, and that's why, you know, when we do investigations, no, nobody can do drugs or alcohol, and if I think they are, then they get sent, you know, I've never had that happen, but if I did think it, they'd get sent home, you know, because I don't want that on my conscience, that, you know, they get possessed because, you know, they were with me and they were stupid enough to take drugs or alcohol or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think that most people have the ability to do this or sense the beyond?
I think so. I think that the more, like I said, the more you do it, the more your ability opens up.
Yeah,
you know, I know that the more I hang out with the people that I'm around, my co-founder of the League of Extraordinary Paranormal Women, Christy, she's a psychic, and the more, you know, I kind of hang out with her, the more my psychic abilities are kind of opening up. I mean, I'm never going to be like her. The more I'm, like, able to feel, you know, trust my intuition and feel stuff more.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I the way that I develop, I've had a lot of psychics on the show, and they're wonderful folks. They're all different, too. They're kind of nutty. The way that I look at that is if you learn how to trust your intuition, like just like you said, then you're developing your psychic muscles.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's like that voice that tells you, don't open that door, something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, oh, no, that's ridiculous. Don't be such an idiot. And you open the door. It's, you know, we've all been in scary movies where that happens, and everybody says, don't open the door, don't open the door. And the little girl opens the door, and of course then the monster comes out and slashes her, and she's dead. So
I saw a funny cartoon once where he says, here, hold my gun while I go down into this basement with nothing but a plunger.
Yeah, I love that one. And let's make sure that the light switch doesn't work, so I stumble down the stairs. Oh, my God, that's funny. Have you just, this is out of the blue, but have you seen the latest Harry Potter movie?
No, I haven't actually gotten into the Harry Potter movie.
Oh, you haven't?
I know, isn't that crazy? I want to read the books. I keep saying I want to read the books.
Okay.
I want to read them before I see the movies, and then I just have gotten lost. You know, there's so many of them, and, you know, I keep thinking that I want to get the series of books, and then I want to read the books before I see the movies, because the books are always better than the movies.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but let me tell you, this last Harry Potter movie is it's amazing. I love the books, and I love the movies, but this recent one, I think it's the best of all of them so far. So,
I've heard good stuff about it, and I heard the surprise. So.
Well, it's amazing how much they track real life, too. I mean, it's almost as if it's a metaphor for what's really happening out there in the real world.
Well, you know, as a little girl, this is weird, too, because I used to dream of an underground magical place like that where, you know, and there was like a wand shop, like Harry Potter went into the wand shop.
Yeah.
And it's really weird. I dreamt about that before it even, you know, like, I don't know.
Well, you know, anything's possible.
It was like a marketplace for magical stuff.
I think anything is possible. You know,
some
people say that there used to be divas and fairies and elementals that were, you know, available to us. And that because of our you know, the way that we've disconnected to the source of life and from our spirits, that they retreated and they don't manifest anymore.
A lot of the UFO people are saying, though, that they're UFOs, aliens. the fairies. I don't want to believe that.
I'm not sure I do. I think there's a more magical world than.
Yeah.
I think there's enough room for all of it to exist.
I think so too.
You know, including Peter Pan with her little, you know, magic wand. I really do. I think fairies do exist.
Put the fairies up with the aliens.
Well, you know, I can see where it would be easy to get confused.
Yeah.
Especially if the alien forms were able to change their appearance.
But why would they come as pretty little fairies?
Well, that would probably not to scare us.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be a way to get our trust without us thinking that it was, you know,
and
something.
And you know, they said they used to steal the babies.
Oh, geez. I think humans do that. I don't know, but although, you know, I have had guests on my show that have talked about that there are actually ET Earth hybrid programs going on, and there's a very convincing book called Rachel's Eyes, and it talks about that, and it's pretty convincing, I'll tell you.
Have you ever had a guest on your show that was just so, like, their ideas were just so far out there that you were like, whoa?
Let me think about that. That's a good question. You're turning the tables on me. That's right, I forgot. You're also a radio talk show.
Yeah.
Well, no. You know, the most bizarre guest I've had is about this subject. He is a lifetime abductee. His name is Jim Sparks. And I heard him on Art Bell's show the first time, and it was mesmerizing. And don't you feel that people who are psychic or empathic can sense when somebody is telling the truth?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's how I get my information. I mean, I can tell, and I could be wrong. I always make room for the possibility that I could be wrong, but it sure seemed like he was telling the truth. I mean, it would be a pretty tall tale to make up that you'd been abducted since you were a child.
Well, a lot of times that's how it works, though. They keep abducting the same person over and over again.
And
know?
Not just that person, but their family.
Yeah.
You know, I had another guest that came on. She's a wonderful woman. And she was talking about how she was regressed by a professional, a hypnotherapist. And as time went on, I mean, this doesn't all come out instantly, but as time went on, her parents had been abducted and her grandparents. And when she questioned these people, you know, they said, we won't talk about that.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't want to like get caught up in the UFO stuff.
I know. But you know,
I don't want to like have my family abducted, also, you know, me abducted over and over again. No, that's not.
Yeah. I think there has to be an element of consent.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I think you have to agree at the soul level that, you know, that's something, an experience that you will allow to have happen. And I think that's something we're just not conscious of yet. That's my take on it.
I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Mull that one over.
Do you want to hear a haunted story from me?
Sure.
Well, I'll try to be brief about this.
Okay.
Years ago, I had a friend, a girlfriend, and I didn't have any place to go for Thanksgiving, so she invited me over for Thanksgiving dinner. Well, she lived in the basement of an old San Francisco Victorian, and they had built a little room there where she had a bed and so on and so forth. Well, we couldn't cook in there, and her roommates upstairs were out, so they were cooking food upstairs. So it came time for us to walk up the stairs. The second my foot hit the stairway, I got chills, shivers, and vibes that you would not believe. And as I went up the stairway, it was like something inside me said, don't go up those stairs. And that feeling never shook me. And in the kitchen, it was cold. It was just spooky vibes. When we went downstairs to eat, we took our food down. I said, I'm not eating up here. And when we took our food down to her little room there to eat, there were about five or six of us, she proceeded to tell me that the house was haunted and that her roommates upstairs would wake up in a sweat and screaming because they saw a monster so terrible they couldn't even describe it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and I mean I could feel a presence in the bathroom. There was a little room that was like a den. I wouldn't even go near it. I didn't even want to look at it. It was that bad. And come to find out, there were people that had been murdered there.
Oh.
So, you know, we do pick up these things, you know. And
so it was a human spirit, or was it inhuman?
Well, you know, her roommate described inhuman spirits, that they were just, they looked like monsters.
So maybe the energy of the murderer attracted it. Yeah.
Yes. I think that maybe it's possible that the soul can become so distorted and ugly that the manifestation of it from the other world actually looks like that.
It could be, too, that the energy that of the murderer got is so horrific that it got trapped in that spot, and it was like a beacon of light out there for the negatives to come.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And also, did you know that sometimes churches are built on evil ground?
On
satanic
evil ground?
I have verified this for myself, that sometimes they build churches on satanic ground to protect other people. And the original builders, of course, are long since gone, so people don't know that. And that's why occasionally you can look at a church and feel satanic energies or negative energies, because they actually built the church on that kind of land.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We did a church that was being converted into a home, and they thought that it was haunted. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, during the day, you know, we arrived there. It was like getting evening, and we're like, wow, you know, this doesn't feel bad at all. And, and then the minute it got dark, the energy just changed. Yeah, and we got a whole bunch of EVPs downstairs that curled our toes.
Whoa. What's the spookiest moment you've had?
The spookiest moment I have ever had probably was at that house and reading. We were upstairs, and the owner was, like, just tired of it. You know, she was getting fed up, and I could tell, like, she was kind of, like, yelling at him and baiting him and, you know, saying, this is it, this is your moment. If you want to, you know, tell us something, you know, do something now. And all of a sudden she screamed, and she's like, everyone downstairs.
Huh.
And so, you know, of course, when the owner is telling you to get downstairs, you go downstairs, you know. So
yeah.
We go downstairs, and I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And she goes, it touched me.
Ooh.
And so then we play back the tape, and she's like, you know, give us a sign. Show us, you know, show us that you're here. Do something. Touch me, whatever. And then it touched her, and then it said on the tape, it goes, are you happy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is really something.
Yeah, and then in that same house, we were, like, going around the house, and her basement made me feel really uncomfortable. You know? And she's like, do you want to go down in the basement? Do you want to, you know, sit, you know, investigate the basement? And I'm like, we were going to come back, you know. And I was like, well, maybe we'll hit the basement next time. And the door was open, and we were looking downstairs, and we shut it. And then later, you know, when we played the tape, she was like, do you want to go down to the basement? And there was this voice that goes, can you go downstairs?
Wow.
Yeah. And I go, well, maybe we'll do it next time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Say that again, what it said.
Get her to go downstairs.
Really?
Yeah, it whispered, get her to go downstairs.
And so she was asking you if you wanted to go. It's kind of like she wanted you to go downstairs, and the voice was telling her that.
Yeah. And then neither one of us heard the voice.
An EVP is, you pick it up on the tape, and it plays afterwards, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so after I heard that, I was like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't go downstairs.
Yeah.
But again, that's like what you said, you know, you got to trust your instinct, and, you know, when you feel something, don't do it.
Yeah.
And that's what I've learned about ghost hunting. Like, I am afraid, but it's a healthy fear, and it keeps me safe.
Yeah, exactly. Because there are things that we don't understand that we might not be able to fight off.
Yes.
And, you know, of course, there's techniques in your psychic classes you probably learn to envision a ball of golden white light around yourself. But, you know, who knows what's out there, you know. Are there any funny ghost moments? Any humorous ghosts?
Well, that was sort of on that same investigation. One of them, we were walking down the stairs, and one of my investigators goes, did you just grab my butt, Amy? And I'm like, no. She goes, someone just grabbed my butt. I was like, well, it wasn't me. It's like I was like groping one of my investigators.
Oh, my. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny, too, when she was like, everybody downstairs. Because it was like that Ghost Hunters moment when he was like, dude, run. You know, we're all running down the stairs. I'm like, why am I doing this?
Oh, my goodness. Do you pick up sensations or feelings in the houses? Are there cold spots?
Yeah, you get a lot of cold spots, but you know, sometimes you get hot spots too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and usually the hot spots aren't good because that's the negative energy.
Oh.
And you get like smells. You get kind of creepy vibes sometimes.
Uh huh. What kind of smells? Like just weird ones.
Well, we were on one investigation, and I kept smelling like funnel cakes.
Huh.
Or donuts or something really sweet. I'm like, does anyone smell that? And they're like, no. And then finally someone goes, hey, I smell that sweet smell that you're talking about. And there wasn't any possible way that, you know, no one was making it, and it smelled like, I don't know, it smelled like funnel cakes or something.
Wow. Well, I would guess that, you know, if something is really sweet and enjoyable, that it's probably not too bad an energy.
Mm-mm. Well, so, it could possibly be, like, something residual, too. You know, like, a moment in time gets caught there, and it just keeps playing itself over because, you know, like, maybe Grandma baked all the time, and moment just kept, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. It could be a very loving moment.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you know, Amy, we have just flown through this hour. would you be sure to mention your website address so people can check out the pictures and the stories and things?
Yeah, it's www.hauntedhillsdale.com. And also the League of Paranormal Women is www.paranormalwomenleague.com. And that's, you know, we just spotlight and highlight women in the paranormal.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really terrific. You know, it seems like the divine feminine is making a comeback finally.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of times you see men running the show, and women are doing some extraordinary things, too. And so we just like to bring them up to the forefront and say, hey, look at them.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Well, thank you very much, Amy, for being on tonight. And I guess that's a wrap. Happy hauntings and good night, everybody. Good
Thanks
night, Amy.
Thanks for having me on, Lance. Good night.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye.